Hello, this is Pastor Lawrence Taylor from the Kenilworth Baptist Church, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast, Reflection on the Scripture. Today I'm going to talk about a controversial issue, and that is music in the church. Yeah, music in the church. But should be happening. Let me read a passage from Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, it reads, beginning at verse 18, we're looking at verses 18 to 21, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So what place does music have in the church? Well, let me suggest this, that when I was a young student studying at a Bible college, I really didn't give much credence to music. I said, I figured this was like the show and dance of the service before the most important thing, the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong, the Word of God is the most important thing in a service. But I sort of devalued the importance of music, not merely underestimated, but devalued the importance of music. And then I did a scriptural study and I saw how vital, essential music is in terms of the worship service. And so my attitude changed. I did a 180-degree turn in terms of music. Music is so vital in the church, vital in terms of church worship, that we could say it's one of the lifelines in the church. But the question is, what type of music? Now, there's been a battle that's been going on for a little bit of time over the issue of what kind of music should the church be playing. There are those who are traditionalists, and they believe that the only kind of music that we should have in the church are hymns and anthems. If you have anything that's contemporary, well, that is just satanic. That's anathema. I actually heard a guy say one time that he felt the Gaithers was too modern. I mean, I said, wow. Move over Sasha Cobbs. I mean, the Gaithers, okay. How can you think the Gaithers were too much? There are those guys from like Bob Jones University and places like that where they were so traditional that they don't even want to have a guitar in the church. You know, they think that's a guitar is like a fallen harp. You know, the only thing you should have is organ music or piano music in the church. I attended a church one time when I was with the Plymouth Brethren. Well, they didn't want you playing any musical instruments. Musical instruments, they said, was not biblical. And it was I got to tell you something, it was a horrific experience. I mean, because nobody knew the songs. And of course, if you had a musician there who could play the songs, at least get them on, they couldn't sing the key, they couldn't sing the tempo, they didn't, and so it was just, it was torturous, sitting through this, and it actually it didn't make any sense. I mean, so take our passage here, for instance, in Ephesians. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Well, Psalms actually means to use a musical instrument. The Greek word that's used there means like plucking an instrument to accompany you in your singing. And that's just basic, you know. You do need musical instruments to help you sing. You can do it a cappella, but not everybody's that talented. It is unfortunate that we do not have a complete picture of how worship was done in the early church, at least here in the New Testament. We don't have a picture of that. We just have to put things together systematically. But the question is, what kind of music is acceptable? Is contemporary Christian music of the devil? Does that have any place? How about praise dancing in the church? Does that have any place in the church? And I had one fellow argue, no, it doesn't. Something like praise dancing. He says, that's choreographed. Don't use the Bible like when David, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back in Jerusalem and David danced until he was exhausted. They said, well, see, there's dancing. But they said, that's not choreographed. That was just something that was spontaneous. Some people say that entertainment has no place in the church. Don't entertain. You are there for the purpose of worship. So we got all of this. Now let's acknowledge some things. In terms of the hymns, most of the hymns, and I say the vast preponderance of hymns, were written by church men. Now, not just men, women too. Fanny Crosby, to use an example. But they were written by people who were church people. They were invested in the church. They didn't do it for contracts. They didn't do it to become famous or to play on stages where before crowds of people. I mean, that was not done. In fact, most of these people we don't even know about. They were in obscurity. But when they wrote in one of those hymns sung, they did it for the glory of God, not for a name or to be some big star. And of course, you read about some of the lives of these modern contemporary people, and they get involved in all kinds of stuff, drugs and illicit sexual relations, homosexual. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. You read about it, hear about it. And some even admit they're not even believers. You know, they're just doing it because it's a way of making money or getting famous. So that is a pretty sad commentary. It doesn't mean that everyone who composes music today has that motive or that they are corrupt. There are too many out there who are, and that is unfortunate. But the other thing I think we should note is that while these people were church people who wrote the hymns, there is a certain ethnic bias. I want to be clear about that. When I say an ethnic bias, what I mean about that is that they were primarily European background. A lot of other people were excluded from that, and that is their music. Contemporary music, obviously, is much more inclusive. So I think that is an important factor there. We don't want to make the argument that the only kind of music that counts is the music that Europeans create. that would be a bigoted comment and idea to hold on to. So we have to be discriminating. I don't know the background of every hymn writer. I don't know what some of these hymn writers did. We don't know all their backgrounds. So they may have lived profligate lives as well. Take, for instance, Amazing Grace. John Newton. Now, John Newton had a genuine conversion. He was a slave trader. He traded slaves for a living, and he had a conversion experience, an epiphany, and he came to the light. And his life changed, and he eventually gave up the slave trade. And even later on in his life, wrote against slavery, the cruelty of the institution. But we don't know where the melody came from. We know the words. We don't know where the melody for that song. There is a popular melody for that song today. And there's all kinds of speculation about that. Some say that it was a melody that was used for secular songs. Some say that it was a melody that was sung in bars. You know, I don't know if we have any evidence of that, but the point is that no one would say, because that suspicion about the melody of Amazing Grace exists, that we ought to just throw that hymn out. It's the most popular hymn of all times. So I think we need to place limits. You know, we're not, when we come to church, going to a rock and roll concert. We're going there to worship God. And we should always make Jesus our focus, not the entertainer or the artist who wrote the song, because there are some very nice contemporary hymns. Looking at our passage here again, it says in verse 19, and making melody with your heart to the Lord. You know, that means that it comes from the heart. That's where it emanates from. And so when you write a song, you compose a song, God is the object to whom you are writing about and to whom you are writing to, who you are singing to. And it lets us know that Christian music is not something that is static, that it is dynamic. It should always be something that's growing and growing, and we are learning new tunes all the time, because every hymn that you sing was one time a new song. Let's keep that in mind. It was a new song. So just because it's new doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't make any sense. One more thing I want to say, and then we'll have to come back to the subject, because it is a big subject, and I think I'm going to have my engineer and producer weigh in on this too, because he's a young person, and he we're giving him some time to formulate his thoughts, so you'll be hearing from him on this subject too. And he is the musician for the church that I pastor. Note verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the Lord. Well, that's what we do in music. We express our thanksgiving to him. You know, I really can't wait to hear from him, maybe next week. All right. And, we'll even invite an audience here to listen to this too. In the meantime, you just keep on walking with Jesus. God bless you and have a blessed day.